This is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head. It's Radio Free Radio.
Romani Belinder is a social worker and advocate for South Asian women. Over the last 15 years, she's helped refugees and immigrants from her native Sri Lanka get settled in Montreal. As a leader in Canada's Tamil diaspora, Belinder empowers women and educates them on how to integrate into Quebec society.
I came to Canada in 1984, in November. I came as a refugee claim because in 1983 we had the biggest race riots in Sri Lanka against Tamils. So I was living in Colombo, and I was a victim of this war. And because my husband, he had his own firm there in Colombo. He's an architect. And so the office was looted, and, you know, like they were looking for the owners to kill. And, you know, so we were very scared of that. And also, like, where we lived, it's a condominium, and not like here. You don't put like the names of the people or anything, you know, in the house. Like, it's like the addresses are nobody can identify which is a Tamil house or which is a Sinhala house or like that. But one day, like, our houses were marked down, you know, like with the X mark, and so we knew that night something is going to happen. So we all have to leave. The Tamils, we have to go to the shelter. And they had like a refugee camp. Then we have to take, there was a ship. It was taking refugees to the north and east. So we have to go to north by that. So then we decided, you know, we can't live there anymore. So we have to, you know, leave the country. So at that time my brother was in Canada. So we thought it's better we go here because someone is, our family member is here. So we came to Canada. When I was a child, until, you know, like we came to Canada, we had like I faced about 2-3 race riots. So the people who come to Colombo to work or to study, and some of the families who we know, when there's a riots, then they ended up in our home. So we had a small, like, a refuge to those people. So we helped them. And so I know, you know, the feelings of how it's difficult for people to, you know, because even I'm a victim of, I was a victim too. So when I came here, at the time, there were not many Tamils. I came in 1984. But we did is, like, we tried to help the community, like, in a one-to-one basis, you know, if somebody has problems. The main problem they had is the communication. So we help them, you know, where to go, what to do, and, you know, like the immigration and everything. So we accompanied, you know, we helped in that way. And then when I came to know there's an opening at South Asian Women's Community Center, then I wanted to apply because, you know, I like to help people, and I know how it's difficult for people to, when they come here, you know, what kind of difficulties they're facing and what they're going through. So I started in 1990 working at SOC, and then I took off in between for 5 years, then I came back. What we want is a peace in Sri Lanka. We want a harmony. People have to live like the way they lived before, you know, like. So that's the time I started be part of the advocacy groups and everything. And also, like, the time in year 2001, they formed the Canadian Tamil Congress. So I took in charge to form a branch in Quebec. So I was the president for 5 years, from 2001 to 2006. So during that time, we did a lot of advocacies. We worked with the MPs, you know, with political parties. And because the only reason is we want a peace in Sri Lanka, and we don't want any people to die, you know. So that's the only thing which motivated me to do part of these advocacy groups, and I'm still doing that. The time when we came, and I'm still thinking about it, and I get very upset about the system, the refugee system now, because when we came, like, we were warmly welcomed by the immigration officers. And even, you know, like, when we came through the airport, and you know, we didn't know where to go, what to do, but the officers, they helped us to do it. And you know, they even, you know, they brought us tea, and, you know, like, they because they felt what we went through, you know. But now I see it's been changed a lot, you know. It's people are not welcomed, you know, like, people are seen as with suspicions, and they're not thinking what hard time these people, what they had, what they went through, and why they are here. And so they are being discriminated, you know. Then I see the example of what the MV Sansi refugees came. In back home also, these people were in the camps. And here also, they are in the detention camps. So, you know, the only thing is their lives are safe here. Like, nobody's going to kill them. But the torture is the same. Like, the mental torture what they're going through, they are feeling the same thing. You know, they are in the camps, and here also they are in the camps. So what I feel is that the Canadian immigration has to look into that, you know, like, you can't put the whole community under the security threat, you know. You have to see if somebody's, you know, like, has, you know, like, a illegal, you know, refugee, or if they find this person is inadmissible, then you have to charge that person and do the inquiry, instead of putting the whole people under that, you know, suspicion. That's not good. People doesn't know really what's happening in Sri Lanka. They think, okay, the war is over, so people are okay. But people are not okay, because these people are left on the streets. They don't have their houses. Even the people who have houses, but it's all broken. It's, you know, it's nothing. Maybe they have only a foundation. So they have to build their life, you know. Then they have to recover from the mental stress what they went through, because they went through a life and death situation. You know, they were hiding in these bunkers, and on the top, it's, you know, like the attack from the airplanes. And even, like, people I heard, like, the clients, you know, who goes to see their families in Sri Lanka, they come back and they tell stories to me. So it's many stories. They say, like, people are outside, but they are, like, in an open prison, you know, but still the Sri Lankan army is there in Jaffna, or in north and east. So what kind of freedom these people have? And whatever the rights that which was provoked, and they fought for it, it's nothing been given back. So still, like, people are being oppressed. The Canadian government, I can't say that they don't know. They know what's happening, because they have condemned in the past, you know, what is happening in Sri Lanka, you know, all these human rights violations. They condemned. They said, oh, you know, both parties have to work together to bring peace and everything. So they know what really went through. So now when the refugees come here, you have to treat them properly, because they are safe, you know, their lives are safe, and they are coming here to start a new life. And why you are keeping these people in detention? Because in the last October, when 76 men came, the same suspicion came. And what they did is, like, they kept them for a month, and they couldn't find anything, and they released these people. So now they are keeping these people more than a month, and there are, you know, like, more, like, 90 women and, you know, 44 children among them. And you know, you're still keeping them. So we don't understand why they are doing these things, you know. Like, the only thing that we can say that they want the future refugees not to come, you know. So this is the way that they think that people will stop coming. But that's not the right way to do it, you know. If you don't want refugees, then they have to withdraw from the convention. That's what I feel. Otherwise, you treat everybody equally, and you treat refugees as before, you know. What happened is, when the war ended, the Canadian government brought a new program, a special program for the people, a reunification program, they called. But that is only for the wife and children of any person here, or the parents. So many of the people, the community, they had their married brothers and sisters, uncle and aunts there, and they were willing to sponsor these people and to bring these people legally, but the Kenyan government refused to do that. They didn't bring a program for that. So I think it's part of their fault too, because if they legally let these people come, they would have gone through the security clearance there, they would have done the medical, and they don't have to worry about the welfare of these people because the family is here willing to take over that. So they didn't do that, and because of the reason, people have to come illegally here, you know, because they see where they can go, how, you know, like, what I feel is like all the refugees come here, they come illegally. That's what you call refugee program. Like, if you can come legally, then there's no refugee issue or there's no question. You know, they come as immigrants and they can do whatever they want. Like, they can, you know, like, upgrade their lives here. They are economic refugees. So economically, they come here, right? We don't call them refugees. But refugees who can't come directly to Canada or any other country, you know, because they have fear of persecution in their country, but they have to leave. So they will find a source to come here. So you can't call these people as queue jumpers. For me, refugees never had a queue. The queue is for the migrants, any other immigrants, you know, who goes through legally the process to come here. Then they you have this kind of quota, you know. That's what you call a queue, you know. But for refugees, there is nothing. Refugee is a refugee. Even if 1, 2, 3 comes, or if it's 100 comes, it's the same, you know. Because you see in a year how many refugees are coming, and you can't say, okay, because these people came together, then they are not refugees. No, you know, still it's the same process applies to these people. Then the same principle should apply to these people as well. So what I feel is it's these are the assumptions which is made by the ministers. You know, the immigration minister made a comment on these refugees, and even the minister of public safety, he made a, you know, issue of you know, oh, you know, these people are like, maybe they are suspicion of terrorists. How can they assume that, you know? Are they doing this to other communities? In every country, when people are coming as refugees, they have a political problem in their country. So are these people a terrorist too? No, they're not thinking like that. So why it's for Tamils you're doing that? I heard that some of the people in Montreal, their family members are there in these camps. They believe that their family members are there because no one is identified so far, you know. So they think maybe their family members are there, but because we referred to the Red Cross, because Red Cross is taking care of these connecting families, so we let these people, you know, like directly talk to them. So then they can, you know, if their family is there, then they will connect them. So if they have the families actually there, then maybe they will come to Montreal. So if they come to Montreal, then we will help them, you know, in the part of integration adaptation. Then we can help them to settle down here and, you know, to learn the language, French, and, you know, to find the job. Then we will assist in that way.